This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along. We're joined by a local author today, Nancy McGargle. We have talked to her in the past for several different parts of her life, but she recently, it's been how many years, Nancy, that we talked about your first book?
Four, something.
I'd have to look back in my files, yeah. but you did write a book and we talked about it, and now you have produced this new one, and we're going to talk about that today on the program, and just a bit about it, and you know what you want to accomplish through it. So thanks for joining us, first of all, and if you can just kind of explain, why did you write this book after the first one?
Well, in 2017, I released A Time to Die, A Time to Live. After a psychologist had read that book, he made the comment to me that everyone who walks through his office door would benefit from reading this story. So if you pick up Letting Go and Letting God Live, the new publication, and leaf through it, you'll see that the story is unchanged. The psychologist said, don't change a word of the story, add a study guide. A study guide that would open this to other people going through other types of crisis. Time to Die, A Time to Live chronicled every parent's nightmare, the loss of a child, and end-of-life decisions on that child's part. And so the lessons that God had taught me were relevant to any kind of loss. It could be loss resulting from an abusive relationship, a divorce, financial devastation, illness, ongoing illness, cancer, any such type of loss. And the lessons that God had taught me just could be adapted to anything like that. And so this is what we came up with, the study guide to go with that original story, and retitled it. And that's what we're talking about today.
Nancy, I remember in high school having to make a speech about the saddest day of my life, and I thought that seemed like a depressing topic for a high school assignment, but nonetheless, it makes me wonder, does going through this process to prepare this book again bring back the trauma? Is it tough to get through something like that?
The first time it was really difficult because I did a lot of research trying to decide, trying to remember and figure out years later why those decisions were necessary. And as I went through that and I did my research and I interviewed doctors, I realized, oh, so there was really basically nothing left of Stacy's brain by the time we got to the place of making the end-of-life decisions. So that was painful. I interviewed doctors, and this time it was different, though. This time I had learned and gotten down all of those lessons that God had taught me through the grief process, and I was excited. I was excited to share in this new way what God had taught me and to reach out to others to help them realize that there are ways that God can help you through whatever loss, whatever struggle, whatever grief, whatever anxiety that you are going through. There are ways that God can teach you to get through this. You don't have to remain in a pit of despair the rest of your life or isolated from others. And that was my case for a time. But the joy that I've experienced in the wake of all of that loss has been worth every bit of it. So I wanted to share that with others. And this is a tool to put in the hands of others to be able to have their own joy restored and rejoin the dance of life again.
Just as we all seem to change as people over the years. So adding 5 years to your lifespan, then you're saying, you know, it's almost like a new person coming at this from a new direction, I guess, with what you've learned.
Or a 5 year older person coming at it. My main struggle is social media. Social media is a real challenge for me, and I'm laughing right now, but I was crying earlier this morning. You might ask me if this opened up old wounds, and I would say actually it didn't so much, because as I recently taught this in a Sunday school class, this study guide, which I've expanded and built upon from what you'll see in Letting Go and Letting God Lead, and I'd love to share this in other churches and other venues. But it was just exciting to me to go into a classroom and to ask the questions of the classmates, because it is a reciprocal process. We were going back and forth and back and forth. They were teaching me things that they had learned over their lifetimes about how to deal with stress and anxiety and grief and loss. And so it was very satisfying. And I felt that from each of the classmates as well, that they were learning, we were learning together, and it was just a very joyful atmosphere when we had our classroom experience with letting go and letting God lead.
I want to talk a little bit about that study guide and how you formulated that, but probably a dumb question, but how does the cover, is that something the publisher does, or did you tell me a bit about that? I just find that so soothing to look at.
That was something that the publisher and I came up together with. I picked graphics, and I picked letting go and letting God lead. That comes from Hebrews 11, chapter 11, I think it's verse 1. Yes, it's on the inside cover. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we walk through our lives, we often don't see a clear path ahead. Whatever your crisis may be, whatever the dilemma, the decisions that you have to make, which may be life-changing decisions, we don't always see a clear path ahead. And so on the cover, it's rather dark. There are some stars and galaxies that are kind of hazy in the background. But I had to learn. I had to learn, and it was a hard lesson, to let go. I had to learn to let go of my daughter first. I had to learn to let go of areas of my life that were not productive or fruitful or in any way positive. Ways of my thinking and working processes through my mind, I had to let go of them, and I had to just learn to walk ahead in faith and let God lead one step at a time. Maybe not even anything that you would call a big step, maybe a baby step like getting out of bed in the morning, maybe a big step like picking up the phone and searching for a counselor or a pastor who could maybe give me some sort of direction. Maybe even opening up the Bible some mornings, and I was a really solid Christian, but just opening it up and thinking, well, God, I guess maybe you can say something today that's going to help me, but right now I don't feel like anything's going to help. And there were mornings, many mornings, when I did not see any way forward. So I had to learn how to walk in faith when you can't see the way forward. So that's really where the title came from. And that is a great title. The first book could have been entitled that, but I was specifically honed in on these end-of-life decisions in the first book. Now the study guide and going through that Sunday school class, I really value that time with those students because they really helped me see the many ways in which what I had learned would fit into their own lives. What God had taught me would fit into their own lives.
Now, as far as the study guide, I know you had in mind making it longer. Maybe time constraints with publishing was an issue. But you and I talked a minute ago off tape, it does force you to be concise. But give me some concept of how you came up with that and what it's kind of aiming to do.
Well, this was the process. First, I was on a major time constraint with the publisher. And I was consulting with the psychologist on these questions that would appear in the study guide, right? So I was only, I only had access to him infrequently, at most once a week. And I think it was actually less time than that over this period where I had to write it. So I and two of my sisters came up with questions during the week, right? And they were both teachers. And so they helped, make my questions in a way that, in a format that people would understand and people could learn from. But we went clear through the book. And we came up with some basic questions that would be in a study guide. I would take them to the counselor/psychologist, and he would just hone them a little bit to make them even more relevant to crises and situations outside of end-of-life decisions or the loss of a loved one. And so it was a very, very fruitful time, and I value the time that he gave me. He didn't give me a whole lot of time, but every minute I felt very thankful that I could run these things past him. So I am very confident that the study guide at the back of the book, because he worked with me on it, would be helpful to anyone with any kind of crisis or struggle. This can even be just the daily grind that can bear down on us so strong. And how do we get out from underneath that heaviness that we live through? If anyone has lost touch with joy, this study guide and the expanded study guide that I'll make available on my website, that will take you back into that place where you can grab hold of joy again in your life if you've lost it, and not remain in the despair and the ashes of the past. One of the most important things that I can say is to keep on calling out to God. It may seem like God has disappeared. It may seem like God has turned a deaf ear to you. We see this in Scripture. And so I would point you to calling out to God. I would point you to quiet time with God, spending quiet time with God, meditating on Scripture, because it's in Scripture that God speaks to us, first and foremost. In our quiet time, He may address those Scriptures and really personalize them for us. And the third thing I would say was to begin to worship and praise God, even when you do not feel like it, even when that is the farthest thing from your mind. Turn on worship and praise music. You'll hear it here on WPGM. You can tune them in and tune their music in and make yourself some lists, playlists that is simply worship and praise music. Because you know what that does, Matt? That makes Satan scatter. He's the enemy of our soul. He wants to bring us down. He wants to discourage us. Life is discouraging and painful at times. We might as well face that reality. But worship and praise music scatters the enemy of our soul, and it opens us up to receive from God what we cannot receive anywhere else. The Scriptures and worship and praise music. Those were the things that helped me.
If you joined us late, we are talking with author Nancy McGargle, who is here today to talk about her new book, which is, we'll refresh you on that, how it is new and it's not new, I guess is the way to put it. But Letting Go and Letting God Lead, and this the new version of it with a study guide included. Nancy's telling us about that again. We want to remind you of if you tuned in late. But Nancy, one of the big things you talk about is forgiveness. And in what sense is forgiveness a big part of this, of the book, and what you're trying to show people?
Forgiveness is an integral part in moving ahead with God, going deeper with God. Forgiveness is a key that opened my heart to receive more of God's love, you see. Think about the different ways that people approach forgiveness. If we choose forgiveness as a way of dealing with loss, then God will teach us, He'll actually empower us to love others as He loves us. And I needed to forgive others. There were some in my circle who did not agree with the decisions we had made with end-of-life decisions. And I had to get to a place where I forgived them. Why? Because if I didn't, I would live with a victim mentality my whole life. I would be a victim. This is what happens when we don't forgive. We emotionally bind ourselves to others who offend us when we refuse to forgive them. And that gives them the power to inflict that same hurt over and over and over repeatedly while we continue to relive the pain of the past, that experience. We are a victim, right? But when we release others of the obligation to treat us as we feel we deserve, then we no longer relive the pain of the past. That's an incredible freeing philosophy that you can take through life. Memories of times when others have disrespected us or caused us pain in some way no longer dictate our feelings and our emotions, our words, the knee-jerk responses that we might have learned over our lifetime. And God really is patient with us in this. It is incredibly patient with me. So asking for and receiving forgiveness, though, is a lifetime process. I mean, every day there will be things that we can take to God and ask Him to forgive us for, and offenses that have been perpetrated against us that we need to forgive. I would caution, though, that people would establish appropriate boundaries in abusive situations. I'm not saying for you to remain in an abusive situation, but I am saying that you need to keep on forgiving, keep on praying, and keep on loving. And that way, then, you will eventually be able to exchange the ashes of the past for the joy of the present and anticipate the future with hope. And that's what God wants for us. Another thing that I would say is the difference between condemnation and conviction. We can condemn others. We can condemn ourselves. God certainly is a holy God. And so to approach a holy God, we need to somehow, and we often do this, trying to reach some sort of level of perfection in ourselves. That is impossible to do. Impossible altogether, because Scripture tells us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and fallen short. And so how do we overcome that? How do we deal with that? God dealt with that for us. He sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. Jesus Christ absorbs the wrath of God. When we approach God and ask Him to forgive us, He actually will empower us. Isn't that incredible? He empowers us to live a life that pleases Him. That's a scriptural promise. Look it up, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Look that up. And when we invite Him into our lives, He fills us with His own Spirit and then works. And I'm not saying we'll be perfect. I'm not saying that at all. But He works in us with the same power through which He raised Christ from the dead. And God looks at us through the eyes of Christ then, covered with the perfection of Christ. Isn't that incredible? If I can say one thing to your listeners today, it would be this. God spoke these words to me, and I'm speaking them through these airwaves today to you. Just think of God speaking this out to you. If you have asked Him for forgiveness, if you have approached God and reached out to Him, He is there for you, and He speaks this word over you today. I love you. I love you. I love you. He's your creator. You reach out in the blood of Jesus, and He loves you, and He never will leave you or forsake you. He pursues you.
And as for finding the book at online through Amazon or your own website, correct?
Yes, you can come to my website and you can find either book. And I would actually even sign it and send it back to you if you leave in a comment what you would like me to say or who it should go to. You can buy both books off of Amazon. You can actually go to a bookstore and ask for A Time to Die, A Time to Live. And I recorded that in Audible, so you can actually listen to it over recording as well. But Letting Go and Letting God Live, the new release, is only available through Amazon.
And is this something you are kind of taking out there? I mean, just listening to you today, I could tell it would be engaging presentation for, you know, to take to whatever kind of groups. Is that something you're doing?
Hey, you guys out there listening, Matt and I have a lot of fun when we're here together. It's fun. He is a great radio interviewer. I enjoy speaking with people on this subject, but I would love to take it to other churches, to Bible study small groups. I'd love to do that. Just reach out to me. I really, truly would love to speak with you on the subject. And you can reach me at email at timetolivebook@gmail.com or my website, timetolivebook.com.
Nancy McGargle has been our guest on the program today, author of Letting Go and Letting God Lead. Thanks for being with us again, Nancy.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
And thanks.
God bless you.
Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in to this afternoon's program.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.